As we come to approach the Lord in prayer tonight, last week I was at a conference for the first 3 days of the week, and one of the speakers was Phil Jump, who is our regional minister. You may remember he was at my induction and he was chairing the meeting that decided to appoint our community worker as Ruth, and his theme was a theme I've been thinking about a lot since Monday. His theme was listening prayer. And I've been so taken with this, I haven't kind of worked this one through yet, but I was wondering if, as we did open to God in the autumn of last year, whether listening prayer would be a good theme to use in the autumn this year and to do something really to encourage us to listen. And what Phil was talking about was he was saying that so many of our prayers that we pray work something like this, that we see a problem, we perceive there is a problem, we work out what we think is the solution to the problem, and then we ask God for it. That's basically how it works. And Phil wasn't knocking that sort of prayer. In fact, a lot of the requests to Jesus in the New Testament are like that, and as Jesus says, our Father in heaven loves to hear his children's prayers. So we should not be ashamed or afraid to come to God with what we want him to do. It's a question that Jesus would ask. What do you want? Important question. But Phil was talking as well that we need a second model of prayer alongside that, which is, well, here is the situation. Lord, what do you want to say to me or say to us in this situation? How do I need to change in this situation? What do you want me to do? And as I was thinking about that, there's a number of scriptures that have come to my mind. I think of Elijah on Mount Horeb, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But tonight I want to read from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. So I'm going to read from my translation here. You might want to follow on in yours or listen to what I've got here. Paul's been boasting about his weaknesses. If I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I'd love to start a sermon like that last week. I'd love to start off the sermon by saying there's nothing to be gained at all from me saying what I'm about to say. But there you go. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'd love to know, maybe I wouldn't, but my curiosity would love to know what Paul's thorn in the flesh actually was. He's not letting on what he's talking about here, but there was something that was of great concern to him. He describes it as something that tormented him. And he describes it as a messenger from Satan. It's something that just keeps having a go at him. Something that keeps wanting to drag him down, destroy him. Don't know if you've got anything in your life that you think of as a messenger from Satan. But often we feel this sense of we're under attack. This is hard. It is difficult. Trying to cling on to God here. And to use sort of Phil Jump's ways of describing prayer, Paul starts with the first sort of prayer. I have a problem, this thorn, whatever it may be. I have a solution, that God should take away this thorn, that God should remove it, and then it's not going to torment me anymore. And I ask God to do it. Three times he says he prays that to God. But whereas Paul wants to come with that first sort of praying, the Lord wants him to be into the second. The problem, the thorn, God's view on it, that actually keeping Paul weak is a good thing. That's what God wants to say. God says to Paul, I'm deliberately keeping you weak so that my strength can be seen through you. So Paul has to readjust his way of thinking. And this had a huge impact upon him. That he's not going to be a strong person who's always doing well, who's always living in the victory. He's going to be somebody who hobbles through life with this torment going on in his life, whatever that may be. Because as he is weak, God is going to show his strength. So as we come to prayer tonight, we want to ask God for things. That's good and it's right. I've got some ideas of what we might want to pray for. But as well as asking God for things, let's come to God open to the idea that God might just have something to say to us. And that maybe, just maybe, what he's got to say is not what we want to hear. And maybe that applies not just for us as individuals, but for a church as well and for the wider church. You know, it can be the ambitions of churches to grow and be strong and be something big and important. And Jesus says, maybe I want to show my power, my grace in a weak church, in one that struggles. I mean, one of the things that I've been asking God recently is, Lord, you know, why is it that we have so much mental illness within this church? Well, why is it just so much of it, Lord? Lord, this church would be much easier to run. This church would be much easier to do what we want to do if we were all well. Wouldn't that be lovely? Now, I can't say that I've heard a word from the Lord quite like Paul describes it here. But yet this passage of Scripture alerts me to what God just might want to say. That actually God wants to show his glory through weak people. So it's a challenge to my praying. Am I prepared to let God work in me and change the way I think because I pray? Now, this isn't a matter of us just coming to, you know, come to some sort of excuse for the world as it is. Paul would never want us to do that. I mean, this is a passionate missionary who's talking here. But he says earlier on in 2 Corinthians, he talks about this incredible treasure that God has placed in us. But he says God places his treasure in a clay pot. God places his treasure into something that's absolutely fragile. And in Corinth, there are all these other teachers who are going on about their incredible spiritual experiences that they've had. And people are thinking, wow, these people have had much better spiritual experiences than Paul has. You know, we think Paul was a great missionary, don't we? I mean, we greatly respect Paul for all the stuff he did. It wasn't like that in Corinth at the time. People looked at Paul and thought, he's pretty rubbish. There are much better than him around. And these people are going on about the incredible experiences they've had, all the great words from God that they've had. And here's Paul talking about, and most people who study this think that when he describes this man being taken up into the third heaven, that Paul is talking about himself. He tries not to, but he does give it away. But you know, here's all these fantastic, so-called fantastic other people saying, we've had this experience, we've had that experience, aren't we fantastic? And here's Paul sitting on this incredible experience that he had 14 years ago. And God told him not to say what he was told. It was something too precious to talk about. God did not want Paul to be going around bragging about his own spiritual experience. God wanted Paul to be a weak, fragile person. It may be that his thorn was a disease. It may be, this is a guess, I'm not at all sure it's right, but there is evidence that Paul had very poor eyesight in two or three places. He gets somebody else to write the letters for him. Not because he, when I was a kid, I used to think that Paul was quite lazy. Why didn't he write his own letters? It's because his eyesight was rubbish. That's why. And you know, what he says to the Corinthians, you'd have torn your eyes out and given them to me. At one time, you would have done that for me. You wouldn't do it now because you're impressed by these so-called spiritual people. So Paul's experience of prayer was that he had to reframe who he was and how God was going to work his ministry through him. There is evidence, going back to the mental health thing, people who study these things say that perhaps Paul, when he was writing this letter, or at least while he was, in the experiences he talks about, may actually today have got a diagnosis of depression. You know, he talks about despairing of life itself. And I don't think at this point he's talking about the fear of being persecuted. He's talking about something that's deep within himself. So as we come to prayer tonight, I don't want us to hold back from asking God for things. It is right that we should do that. We are his children, and children ask their parents for what they want. It is the right thing to do. But every prayer that we pray tonight, let's be open to the possibility that God might want to say to us, well, thank you, my child, that's a great prayer, and I'm really interested in it. But actually, this other thing is what I want to talk about. And God may not want to just give us what we want straight away. He might actually want to say to us, how about changing the way that you're thinking? How about changing the way that you're being? Perhaps God wants to make us weak so that he can show his strength. And the truth is that God did show his strength through Paul. It's Paul's influence that 2,000 years almost later is the one we're talking about. It's his letters that we're reading, not these supercharged spiritual people who seem to have been forgotten in history. So if God's at work in us, it's to show his power and his grace. How about we take a few moments quiet just to reflect on that thought? You might want to read from the Bible. You've got that bit from the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's the first 10 verses. that we read, and then we'll come to prayer. So let's take a few moments quiet.